Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of the Infinity Sports Network here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to what is a Tuesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local Infinity Sports Network affiliates, Sirius XM Channel 375, the free Odyssey app, and of course, as always, streaming on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. That's 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That is Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We got a jam-packed show for you today. We will do a little NFL, but the majority of the show is going to be college football. Bobby Carpenter, the former Ohio State linebacker, is going to stop by at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 Pacific time. As last night, I was in attendance in Atlanta, Georgia, which, by the way, it was freezing cold in Atlanta. I thought, okay, at 25 degrees, whatever, I've always dealt with 25 degrees. It was freezing cold in Atlanta, even though the game was indoors, it was still freezing cold. But if you're an Ohio State fan, it doesn't matter what the elements were. It doesn't matter what else has happened in the past. You are jumping up and down today like a fat kid in a candy store because your football team has won it all. And I'm not going to sit here and pretend as if this was something that was easily predictable about 6-7 weeks ago, because it wasn't. Yeah, you look back at 6-7 weeks ago, it was a great moment of humiliation for the Ohio State Buckeye program and also for Ryan Day. And I don't think the analysis from 6-7 weeks ago was uncalled for or was unfair. Now, you could say someone should be fired. You could say Ohio State maybe needs to rethink their college football head coaching position at the end of the season. And that could be warranted at the moment, even if it didn't age well. Because at the time, remember, Ohio State, which used to always beat Michigan and would always win the Big Ten and would be in the mix for a national championship, it was 4 years in a row where they lost to Michigan. And the players that came back, they were saying, we're coming back to beat Michigan and win the Big Ten. Now, here's the irony. You get the ultimate prize, and you would think if you get the ultimate prize of winning a national championship, well, you would beat Michigan and you would win the Big Ten. That didn't happen. They finished in fourth place in the Big Ten. But with that being said, that's the new system of college football, where you have more access to the playoffs. So if you have a loss or two, your season isn't over. So I stand by everything I said 6-7 weeks ago, in which Ryan Day, if he didn't beat Tennessee, if Ryan Day didn't go on a run in the college football playoff, even though he has an impeccable record, even though he hasn't lost a lot of games, this is Ohio freaking State, for crying out loud. This is not, oh, just make the playoff. We pat you on the ass and say, good job. Go get him next year, Tiger. No, that's not what this is. This is one of the most prestigious football programs in the country. There's a reason why Gus Johnson says the world famous Ohio State Buckeyes. There's a reason why you say the Ohio State. And Ryan Day had to have a moment. Ryan Day had to have some redemption. And he had that in this run. Because this team, whether it was Jim Tressel or whether it was Urban Meyer before the start of the season, they said that this was the most talented Ohio State team that they've ever seen. Right? On paper. Well, if it's on paper, it means jack. Right? Potential. Someone once told me, potential means you haven't done it yet. And when they lost to Oregon by one, and then as a 20-point favorite, I still can't believe it. As a 20-point favorite, Ohio State lost to Michigan. Would I have sat here and told you that I thought they were going to have the mental toughness? They always had the talent. But did I think they were going to have the mental toughness, especially with the way that Chip Kelly and Ryan Day coached up against Michigan to go on this run? No, I didn't think so. But once they had that response up against Tennessee, that's when you said, uh-oh, college football, you got a problem, and it's the Ohio State Buckeyes. Because Tennessee, right, with Sampson, a good defense, even though Nico Iamaliava, he's young, right, and he's erratic. They're a good team. Very good team. And not only did they beat Tennessee, they took all their frustration from a few weeks prior in their loss to Michigan out on Tennessee, and it didn't stop there. Because if they just would have beat Tennessee, and then let's say even in a good game, they lost to Oregon, it's like, okay, well, you didn't beat Michigan, you didn't win the Big Ten, and you didn't even make the semifinal or the final of the college football playoff. But after that, that win, which was the turning point up against Tennessee, if you had still any questions about if Ohio State could win at all, that all went out the window when not only once again did they smother Oregon, they beat Oregon, and Oregon could have thrown in the towel in the first round. And Ohio State said, I'm ignoring the towel being thrown in. I'm just going to punch you in the face for the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth round. And eventually the referee was like, enough. Right? You know, it's like in the movie Miracle. When they're doing the skating up and down the rink, the suicides. And it's like, Herb, you made your point. Enough. Right? That's what it was. That's the way that it felt like. That's how much they just bludgeoned the Oregon Ducks. That's what Ohio State did. And then up against Texas, they had a scare. There's no doubt about it. They did not play their A game up against Texas. And when Texas is moving the ball down the field and they get down to the 1 or 2 yard line, if Steve Sarkisian didn't act like a dummy, didn't act like a rookie head coach in that moment, and he's not, he's a very good coach, right? He's had a lot of success at Texas. I like Sark, but he had a horrible play call on second down. And I know Sawyer made the big play on fourth down that went the distance and went for the touchdown, which, you know, that, and then we'll get to Jeremiah Smith, his catch. Those are the two signature moments that you will remember from this run, just from the player standpoint. You remember that Jack Sawyer strip sack, pick up the ball, and take it to the house, and then you'll remember the 3rd-and-11 national championship game on the line up by 8. Notre Dame maybe getting the ball back, and that Jeremiah Smith big catch down the right sideline. Those are the two individual plays. But really, the story with Ohio State, it starts and ends with Ryan Day. And right, I was a big-time critic of Ryan Day. I think at the time it was 110% warranted, but he shut people like me up. That's what he did. And he shut his own fans up, too. Don't just act like, oh, this was Michigan fans and that this was Zach Gelb and this was the national media. No, there is a lot of you Ohio State fans that wanted Ryan Day out. And I couldn't say that you were crazy. Even though he's won so many games, but you have a certain standard, and it's a high standard. And this is the beauty of sports last night, in that even some of the better coaches in the sport, and you can make the case, hey, Ryan Day, he's a top 5 coach in college football. You can make the case he is as high as the 2nd best coach in college football. Kirby is still 1, but after that, whether it's 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever number you want to order it up, Ryan Day is in that top 5. When you are now 70-10 at Ohio State, you've been to 2 national championship games, and also you're 1-1 now. Like, just don't play Michigan, which you have to every year. And, you know, Ryan Day would not have many blemishes on that resume. But he had, even I could say it, a feel-good moment, a feel-good story with this run for the Buckeyes. Even though I'm not the biggest Ryan Day fan on the planet, even though I'm not the biggest Ohio State fan on the planet, obviously, but that was a team and that was a coach that when everyone counted you out, your own people that didn't root for you, everyone was against you because you gave them reasons to be against you. You gave them reasons to doubt you. You really find out the heart of the champion and if you're capable of being a champion when you get knocked out, when you get embarrassed, when you get humiliated, which Michigan did to them in late November, and it's the response. The blowout against Tennessee, bludgeoning Oregon, surviving up against Texas, and then last night winning a national championship, which, by the way, what a funky game that was. That's how I described that game. A funky game. That was a roller coaster ride of emotions. I love the start by Notre Dame. Here come the Irish. Right down the field. 18, 19 plays, 75, 76 yards, whatever it was. 10 minutes off the clock. Touchdown, Irish. It was awesome. And then immediately, that great start, that methodical start by Notre Dame, the way that you could perfectly draw it up, poof, you had 31 unanswered points for Ohio State. 21 in the first half, and they put on a field goal and another touchdown before Notre Dame finally said, okay, we're going to punch back. But when that was at 31-7, think about that. Midway through the third quarter, it goes from, oh, look at this underdog in Notre Dame, right? Marcus Freeman said it. We're not the underdogs. We're the dogs, right? And look at what they did to open up, and then poof, it evaporated. Went up into thin air. And then you're starting to think, uh-oh, Notre Dame about to have their national championship game performance up against Alabama 2.0, this time just being Ohio State. That's what I was thinking at 31-7. I tweeted it out when it was 21-7 at halftime. This feels like it's going to be 45-7. But I give credit to Notre Dame. A wonderful story. I think Notre Dame has turned the narrative around about them, which I have been a huge critic of Notre Dame through the years. Like, good program, very good, right? Respectable, one of the iconic brands. But that's a program, whenever they get in a big game, you can't trust them. Well, they had two huge victories in this college football playoff. They beat Georgia. Brian Kelly don't beat Georgia. They beat Penn State, right? Brian Kelly never had a playoff victory. I know it was back then four, so it was truncated. And, you know, you can make the case tougher opponents, but still, it's Georgia, Penn State. You beat them both. So there's a lot, especially with the talent discrepancy from Ohio State to Notre Dame. There's a lot if you're a Notre Dame fan. I don't usually like when you lose in a championship game. Pat you on the ass. Oh, you're proud. You know, great job, rah, rah. That's not usually me. But if you're a Notre Dame fan, after where you were losing to NIU in week two, and there were questions about Marcus Freeman, questions about your program, you still have to be proud after last night. You can be frustrated because, hey, it's 31-7. You're not expecting much, and then they teased you. Where Greathouse, who has been phenomenal in this run, he had not one but two touchdowns. And when that game gets to 31-23 and they run whatever that the Philly special for a touchdown, I'm like, hold on, we got something here. And I have one gripe with Marcus Freeman last night. When they're down 16 and you're 9 yards out of the end zone and how late in the game are and how limited the clock is, I don't understand making it 13. I don't. You're going from a two-score game to still a two-score game. I get it, right? If you get a stop and then a score, and then you get another stop and a score, then you win the game. But you missed the field goal, so that didn't even matter. But I didn't like it in the moment. But the way that his team responded, even when they were down and out, kind of shows and also encapsulates, even if they didn't get the victory, the Notre Dame season. Because they were down and out after week two. And they didn't lose a game again until last night. And then, obviously, on the final drive of the game for Ohio State, when it's an 8-point game and Ohio State goes from we are the champions, right, midway through the third quarter, everyone thought the game was over. And you go from that to, uh-oh, it's an 8-point game and it's 3rd and 11. I was with Hickey in the building last night, and we were standing up and we were watching the game, and we both looked to each other even before. Right, they lined up on third down. We said, you got to throw the ball here. You got to throw the ball to the best, the most talented player on the field in Jeremiah Smith. That's what you needed to do. And they lined up, and both of Hickey and I, we both agree with that. The reason why you throw the ball there is you're up 8, right? So if you get the first down, the game's over. Pretty much, the game's over if you get that first down. If you don't, all right, you don't waste the clock. You give Notre Dame a good amount of time, but they still got to drive down the field, get the ball in the end zone, and then also get the two-point conversion time, you know, two-point conversion to tie it up, and still, it's a tie game. So I thought going for the kill shot there was worth it. Jeremiah Smith's in single coverage, and that's why he's just sensational. I talked to him after the game, and, right, I'm sitting there with a few other reporters, and we're talking to him, and it came up how he's just a freshman. I said, how do you top this? And he goes, well, we're going to win it all again next year. Right? It's just one of those moments where that kid, what he's been able to do in year one, and say what you want that I don't like Ohio State and I haven't been the biggest fan of Ryan Day. I don't know if I've had a player that I've been in more awe of in recent memory in college football than Marvin Harrison Jr. You like already forget about Marvin Harrison Jr. and the excellence that he displayed in college because this kid is that much better. And last year I said, oh, if I had one pick in this NFL draft of someone that's guaranteed to be a Hall of Famer, I said it's Marvin Harrison Jr. Jeremiah Smith, he's still got two more years left of college football. And, you know, if he was in this draft, you know, sorry Travis Hunter, sorry Shedeur Sanders, sorry Cam Ward, Abdul Carter, Will Johnson, like whoever you want to say, some of the better players in the draft class. Heck, I would even think about taking him if I was a team that needed a quarterback because that's how great Jeremiah Smith is, where I think Cam Ward could just be good. I'm not ready to say he's going to be elite. Shedeur Sanders, I think, could be good. I'm not ready to say that he's elite. But you saw how awesome he was in that moment last night. Championship players make championship plays, and that's what he did to become a champion. Reeling in that big catch down the right sideline, and it goes from Notre Dame's going to surprise people to Notre Dame's going to get blown out. Up, Notre Dame's coming on back to the Ohio State Buckeyes, ruling the day with Ryan Day as he gets his ultimate moment of redemption. Now, right, it's still going to pop up. Can he beat Michigan and all that stuff? But you're a national champion now, right? Like, I have friends that went to Ohio State who still today are annoyed about the loss to Michigan. One of them went out of their way to, I'll read you the text message later, went out of the way to be like, yeah, it's great that we won the national championship, but I'm still annoyed about the Michigan game. Like, just shut up. Like, I understand you want to beat Michigan, but you just won a national championship. You destroyed Tennessee. You destroyed Oregon. You survived up against Texas, and you beat Notre Dame. So take a bow, Ryan Day. 70-10 at Ohio State. Has it been totally perfect? Absolutely not. But when you were down and out, when you were embarrassed, when you were humiliated, when a lot of people, including yourself, you know, myself, wanted you gone, you got off the mat and you got that team, which could have easily broke, which could have easily just succumbed to all the public pressure and all the embarrassment, all the humiliation. And you found a way to give four really damn special games, and you won a national championship. So Ryan Day had his moment in the spotlight last night, and Ryan Day had his day for the Ohio State Buckeyes as their national champions. How do you react to Ohio State winning it all? 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. There is an NFL coach that reminds me a lot like Ryan Day. And I think there are some alarming similarities. Could that NFL coach have his Ryan Day moment coming up rather soon in the NFL? I'll tell you who that coach is when we come on back. It is the Zach Gelb Show right here on the Infinity Sports Network as we're back in New York City after a fun, quick little trip to Atlanta for the national championship where we saw Ohio State, unfortunately, win it all because we got to get to Stu next. And Stu, I'm looking at you right now. I'm going to tease you. We will not get to Stu until the other side. But if I didn't know anything about Stu, I would think today that he's an Ohio State Buckeye fan, and we know he's a fan of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. He's wearing red and black because he's a Liverpool fan. Yeah, you have to, Stu, I know that probably Angie dresses you anyway. Or, like, you just went into your closet last night in, like, a state of depression and said, oh, I'll just grab whatever clothes for the morning. But now you're wearing red and black today. That is a questionable, and I mean a questionable, wardrobe decision. Hey, maybe it's for the funeral of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. We'll take a timeout. We're coming all back. All righty, this is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network, day after Ohio State wins the national championship. You know, it's amazing how just some people don't get it. Like, why I shredded Ryan Day 6-7 weeks ago is because Ohio State has a certain standard. And they weren't meeting that standard with him. You know, you could win all those games you want in the regular season. You weren't winning Big Ten championships. You weren't beating Michigan, and you weren't winning national championships. So can you afford in a season to lose to Michigan, not win a Big Ten championship? Yeah, as long as you win the national championship. So, like, you know, someone in the YouTube chat's like, oh, you're like Ryan Day, he stinks, blah, 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 blah. No, Ryan Day was a very good coach. Very good coach. But in the big moment against Michigan, he couldn't get the job done. But now you could consider him a great coach. Now he's no longer a fraudulent coach. He's still got to eventually beat Michigan, right, and do that again. But when you win a national championship, it does ease the pain from Ohio State fans that you would think that they suffered after losing to Michigan, because when everyone had you counted out, you got off the mat, and not only got off the mat, you threw some serious haymakers and had the other teams on the mat lying down. But I'll tell you, I think this is the minority of the Ohio State fan base, but I have a friend that attended Ohio State, huge Ohio State Buckeyes fan, and we were going back and forth today, and I couldn't believe what he was sending me. So he goes, some more thoughts on this. Am I super happy we won the CFP? Of course. Am I excited about the future? Absolutely. But the game has changed. The thought of Ohio State making the Rose Bowl pre-2014 with the loss against Michigan is laughable. How would Duke fans feel if John Shire never won a game against UNC and still somehow won March Madness after 5 years? Happy, but jaded. I don't know about you, Stu. Anytime my team has won a championship, and I had a team that won six of them, right? I've never felt jaded after winning a championship. And I understand how important the game is, right? And rivalries are in college football. And don't get me wrong, you could still be upset when Michigan, who can't even complete a forward pass this year, was able to beat you because of the arrogance at the time of Ryan Day and Chip Kelly in their game plan. But when you win then four games after that, and you blow the majority of the teams that you played out, and you win a national championship, how can you be thinking about Michigan last night? Like, I have two friends, two close friends at Ohio State fans. That's one. And my other buddy, he was texting me last night talking about Michigan. I don't know about you, Stu. If, let's say, Notre Dame lost to USC this year, but then they went on to win the national championship, but let's say they couldn't beat USC for like the last 4 or 5 years, would you be thinking about USC last night if Notre Dame won a freaking national championship?
Wouldn't even be in the top 10 of my thoughts. It would be very low on the totem pole. I don't think I'd utter the words USC if that was the case.
It's crazy. But there is a portion, I think it's minority of the fan base, that is going to sit there today and be like, all right, I'm still not happy. Like, I'm happy, but I'm not really happy, which is just wild to me. Let's go to Connor in Ohio. First up, 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227 after Ohio State wins the national championship last night in Atlanta up against Notre Dame. Connor, what's shaking?
Thank you so much for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I'm pretty dang happy. I'm very satisfied with the result. But, and you know what? This is going to sound really weird. But thank you, Michigan. Thank you for beating us. I appreciate it.
You needed the wake-up call, right?
It opened our eyes, okay? And it kick-started us. And it kick-started Ryan Day. It kick-started the entire team. And they were not going to let anything stop them. They were not going to let Michigan have that last laugh. And so I actually do not mind that Michigan beat us. I think it was the best thing that could have happened.
Let me ask you this, though, Connor. Did you think that was necessary? Like, did you believe if they, let's say, beat Michigan, did you still think this team definitely would have won the national championship, or do you really felt as if they needed that wake-up call?
I think they needed that wake-up call. I think they were getting cocky, and I think that they were getting overconfident. And so I think if they'd beaten Michigan, then they would have really been, they would have been, like, we're talking cloud nine. They would be out of their game, and they would be way too overconfident.
Yeah, because if you look back at it,
they would take their foot off the pedal.
Yeah,
they would go at it at like 90 or 80%. They wouldn't go at it 100%.
Well, because
they wouldn't put the same kind of effort that they put into it had they won against Michigan.
Because you look back at the season, like after that Oregon game, where they lost and you had the Will Howard and Ryan Day, Chip Kelly clock management problem. You know, they barely beat Nebraska. You know, they beat Penn State. I thought that was a level of toughness, but Penn State, even though they were in the Final Four, is not the greatest team in the world. But that game was closer, and Penn State made some mistakes. All right, you blow up Purdue. Everyone blows out Purdue. You beat Northwestern. And then the Indiana game I thought was interesting because the Indiana game, there was a real moment of elation from that football team where, like, they celebrated as they won a national championship after beating Indiana because I guess they were ignored with Cignetti. And then the week after that, 13-10, the offense was just inexcusable. So, you know, I actually agree with you. I'm not saying that they couldn't win the national championship, Connor, without having that loss to Michigan. But I do think that it brought this group that had so much talent and maybe they were individuals and really made them a team. And that's why they won it all.
Yeah, I completely agree. And look, it's fine that they lost to Oregon. I guess Oregon was the number one seed, okay? What was Michigan's seed? Michigan was very low on the totem pole. I can't exactly remember their exact rank. They were
unranked.
I believe they were unranked at the time. And so it was, that was even worse. They were unranked and they were awful this season and we lost. And Ryan Day let Michigan get into his head. I think the whole team really let Michigan get into their heads. But I'm glad we got at least the last laugh, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, Connor, do you think it's fair then? I think Michigan should be able to claim this national championship. If they sparked this run for you, don't you think that it should be a joint national championship?
Yeah, sure. Maybe in another universe. Sure. Maybe in another universe.
Anyway, Connor, congratulations to your Ohio State Buckeyes. There he is, Connor in Ohio, calling on in. All righty, Stu, give me the emotions. You look like an Ohio State Buckeye fan with the black and red, but I know you were rooting for Notre Dame last night. You're Notre Dame Fighting Irish in what was a crazy national championship that looked like it was going to be a dub, but then got good towards the end.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not surprised they lost. I'm not surprised they lost by double digits. I kind of thought that's what would happen. I didn't think they'd have a drive, opening drive, as dominant as they did. And I also didn't think that Ohio State would score 31 unanswered points. I thought it'd be closer, and then, you know, Ohio State would inch away, you know, once we got to the third or fourth quarter. I'm not too bent out of shape. I mean, I thought it was a great season. Ohio State's just way better team.
Do you find this? I know that you don't feel good about Notre Dame losing, right? You'd rather have your team win. But do you find the Ryan Day story a feel-good story to you?
Sure. Yeah, I do. I think, you know, he had a lot of criticism this year and in previous years, and he did a really good job with this team. It obviously wasn't perfect. They lost to Michigan. They lost to Oregon earlier in the season, but he got the job done when he needed to, for sure.
So let me just make an NFL comparison here. If you're a certain NFL team and you have a coach, right, that has been dragged through the mud, even though he's won a lot of games, but I understand dragging that coach through the mud, I've done it. If I'm an Eagles fan last night, I'm inspired by what Ryan Day did. Because Ryan Day, 70-10, now as the head football coach at Ohio State, now has won a national championship. Ryan Day, though, up until last night, was synonymous with winning a lot of games, but losing to Michigan, Ohio State under his watch, taking a step back in terms of winning Big Ten championships, winning a national championship. They didn't do so up until last night under his tutelage, and then losing the game. And he got dragged, and I dragged him probably like no other, and deservedly so after losing to Michigan this year, because Michigan wasn't in the same league as Ohio State. Michigan couldn't complete the forward pass. Their defense was really damn good, but they didn't have all their starters on defense when they beat Ohio State. And that was the ultimate low moment for Ryan Day at Ohio State. And he took his beating, and they stood back up, and we know the run that they did go on in the last four games. I think it could be similar to what Nick Sirianni's trying to do. Nick Sirianni right now, as the head football coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, is 48-20. Nick Sirianni has made the playoffs every year as the Eagles head coach. Nick Sirianni had the team in a Super Bowl a few years ago. But when you're 10-1 and your players walk all over you like a doormat last year and you have one of the worst choke jobs in NFL history, that created a lot of doubt. That created skepticism. And that created people like me saying, oh, the Eagles should move on from Nick Sirianni. Go hire Bill Belichick. Go hire Jim Harbaugh. Go hire Mike Vrabel, Pete Carroll. You know, the guys that were available that are the creme de la creme coaches that were on the market. But the Eagles didn't do that. And look at the way the Eagles have responded. Now, the job's not done yet, but they're 60 minutes away. They have a home NFC championship game on Sunday from going to a Super Bowl. And then if you win that game, you're one win away from hoisting the Lombardi Trophy. So maybe what Ryan Day did kind of lays the blueprint and lays the road for what Nick Sirianni could do. And I see some similarities with the way that we talk about Ryan Day with Nick Sirianni. And Ryan Day had his redemption moment last night. Now we'll have to see if Nick Sirianni could do that in the next few weeks and get two more victories. Because if he does, it's very similar. Coach that's won a lot of games, has had some success, but was down and out after embarrassing moments, but ultimately got the last laugh. Day got the last laugh last night. Now let's see if Nick Sirianni with two more victories can get the last laugh at many of us who made fun of him for what happened last year when they were 10-1 and couldn't find a way to do anything down the stretch other than win one lousy game. All righty, Zach Gelb here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a break. We'll update you some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio with the news brief next. Update time first. Here's Zach.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. This week's player is Chiefs edge rusher George Karlaftis. In Saturday's win over the Texans, the third-year man out of Purdue sacked C.J. Stroud three times to go along with five total tackles. The Chiefs, as a team, had eight sacks in the game. Chiefs-Bills coming up this Sunday, AFC Championship game. All righty, let's start off this news brief, why don't we, with Quinshon Judkins of the Ohio State Buckeyes. He wanted to talk about his head football coach in Ryan Day.
I think Coach Day has great leadership. All the guys in the locker room, we all follow him. He's been tremendous as far as motivating us, being a great players coach, and just keeping us motivated throughout the season. He did a great job at that.
That's what I think Ryan Day's best quality is I think it's likability with the players. And I think that there is enough respect where sometimes when you have such a player's coach, they could become a doormat. And I think it's easier in the NFL to become a doormat than it is college football, because even though college is different now with name, image, and likeness and the transfer portal and the player has more power than ever, the college football coach is still king, where in the NFL, the coach isn't king. But in this case, I think because the likability that Ryan Day has with that program and in that locker room really made his team full of talent come together as a team after that humiliating loss to Michigan. And it brought out a different gear, and they used that as a rallying cry. Hey, everyone's saying our coach sucks. Everyone's saying that we're a bunch of frauds. Let's go win this for Ryan Day. And you saw it being on the field last night when the game was ending. You saw just the genuine joy that those players have for their head football coach. Like, you're always going to have joy when you win a championship, but how many were going out of their way, not necessarily just to celebrate with teammates, but running over to Ryan Day and saying, this was you, this was you, this was you. Here is Ryan Day on his group winning a title.
The story gets to get told now, and it's a great story about a bunch of guys who have just overcome some really tough situations. And there's a point where there's a lot of people that counted us out, and we just kept swinging and kept fighting. It's the reason why you get into coaching, is to see guys overcome things, learn life lessons, and then reach their dreams. This is what happened tonight.
You know, and as a longtime supporter of Ryan Day, obviously, because he's a two-time member of the Temple Tough Club since he was at my alma mater two different times, you know, I think that's what he learned at Temple. It was to be Temple Tough. It was to be someone that overcomes adversity. And, you know, I never doubted Ryan Day. Never, ever, ever doubted Ryan Day. I was always his biggest fan, his biggest supporter. Never was a critic of his. And yes, his team did overcome adversity. Actually, this morning, Stu. So I got back to the hotel last night, I don't know, 1:30. And then I went to bed at maybe 2:15. Alarm did go off at 4:30 or something, and I had to get in the I was supposed to take a shuttle from the hotel. We get to go on the shuttle. Too many people were on the shuttle. So I was like, all right, whatever. I'm just going to take an Uber. The Uber was like 10 bucks. So there was this other guy there who kind of got screwed out of the shuttle as well. And he just told the front desk, hey, call a taxi. And I'm like, oh, what terminal are you going to? I'm like, you know, I'll just call an Uber. But I guess since it was so early in the morning and no one had their coffee yet, he didn't hear me say that. So he thought I was going in the same taxi with him. So my Uber came and he just jumped right in my Uber. And then he realized, oh, this wasn't the taxi that was called. This was your Uber. He goes, you know, can I give you a few bucks for it? I'm like, no. I'm like, dude, it was like 8 to 10 bucks, the taxi, the Uber. I'll be okay. Don't worry. You know, he's a Ohio State fan. I'm like, congratulations. He goes, yeah, actually, my college roommate was Ryan Day. And he said to me right away, he goes, lot of criticism about him. He really needed that. I go, yeah, I go, I was extremely critical of him. And we started, you know, we were talking, asked me what I did, all that stuff. And he goes, yeah, you could say that you were critical. So that was, you know, I was giving my takes and whatnot. And he goes, he really needed that. So pretty cool. You know, just what are the odds that you go to the airport with Ryan Day's college roommate? I would say the day after, technically the day after, but hours after winning the national championship. Here is Will Howard on a loss to Michigan.
It made us come together, and it really challenged us, man. Like we were in a rough spot, and I just got to give all the credit to the guys in that locker room, man, for coming together and not letting that separate us, but letting it make us come closer. And I really don't think we'd be here if it wasn't for some of the adversity that we faced this year. And man, it makes it that much sweeter.
Yeah, easy to say now, but I do think there's truth there. When you lose to Michigan like that, you could have easily just never got back up and, you know, be humiliated and just listen to what everyone was saying, which all those things were true. But you used that as a rallying cry and you ended up punching on back, and you punched back four times and then ended up taking home that national championship trophy. All righty, let's go to Marcus Freeman. You know, I love what Marcus Freeman has done this year, but when you're down 16 in the fourth quarter, kicking a field goal doesn't really make sense. This is Marcus Freeman on why he attempted the field goal when the ball was at the 9-yard line, I believe it was, for Notre Dame.
I think it was 4th and 9 or 10, and I just thought, you know, instead of being down 16, let's try to go down 13. And I know it's still a 2-score game, but you have a better probability of getting 14 points than you do 16 points. And so, if it was a shorter 4th and goal situation, I probably would have gone for it. But I just felt 4th and 9 was not a great chance for us to make that, and you know, and decided to kick it and you know, make it.
So here's my problem. You got to trust your defense either way. So if you don't get it there, Ohio State is still backed up in their own end, and it's still a 2-score game. If you make it, which you didn't even make the kick too, but if you make the kick, it's still 13. You still have to get that stop, get the ball back, score, then get another stop, then score again. Okay, then you win the game. I thought he should have just thrown the ball there. That I would have gone for it and thrown the ball there, but he didn't do so. Here is Chris Sims on Up and Adams with Kay Adams. He actually blames Lamar Jackson for Mark Andrews dropping that 2-point conversion. Okay, I haven't heard this. Listen up.
When he played right here, this is perfect.
Okay.
Throw it. It's too late. Lamar Jackson's making $55 million a year. That ball needs to be on time, and it was not accurate. Mark Andrews needs to catch it. Don't get me wrong. But Lamar Jackson's making $55 million a year. He double clutched it and threw it like a dart. And now there's Mark Andrews where it's cold. He's worried about getting in the end zone.
I'm just going to say this, and I love Florio. Chris Sims, every time I hear him speak, he pisses me off. He really does. And maybe it's because he used to always go after the Patriots, even though he was fine when he worked there with the Patriots. But he would always say some ridiculous things. Don't get me wrong. Did Lamar Jackson hesitate? Yeah. Did it take Lamar Jackson a little longer than you would like to throw the football? Yeah. Was it a perfect ball? No. It was still in your hands. So I don't care if you thought it was late, if you hesitated, if it wasn't the greatest throw. This game isn't a perfect game. Did Lamar Jackson hit Mark Andrews in the hands? Not just one hand, both hands. Did he? Yeah. You got to catch the ball. Stop making excuses. That's just jackassery from Chris Sims, if you ask me. Here's Patrick Ricard of the Ravens on Lamar not having a Super Bowl ring.
it's inevitable. He's going to win a Super Bowl, and I want to be a part of it, and it just sucks that it hasn't happened yet, you know. I personally feel bad for him because he deserves it just because of how great of a player he is. Like, he deserves to be considered one of the best quarterbacks. He already is, but he'll get it one day. You know, I always love when people compare him to Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was 3-5 in playoffs, the same amount of span that Lamar is, and he went to win a couple. So there's still time. He's still young. He's definitely going to get one at some point.
So I can't say that Lamar Jackson will never win a Super Bowl. He is 28, right? So he still has a long career, hopefully, ahead of him. But when you keep on getting so close, but yet so far, it creates the doubt. Now let's see if you could have your Ryan Day moment. Now let's see if you could have your Peyton Manning moment. And we'll see if Lamar Jackson can do that. But the last 2 years, you've had golden opportunities, and they were wasted. Here's DeMeco Ryans and Chris Boyd pushing a coach during that game.
We can't lose our minds in that sense of taking our helmet off. We still have to remain poised. I don't think he was pushing Frank in a disrespectful manner. I think it was more so he was fired up, overly fired up, then thought he made a play to help us. So that narrative that he's pushing a coach, or that's incorrect.
Yeah, that's a tough sell for me. We didn't talk about that yesterday because there was so much that was lost in the shuffle. When you saw that, you were like, what the heck? What's going on that sideline? This is what pisses me off with a lot of these coaches. A player does something wrong. Everyone knows they did it wrong. And then they just have verbal diarrhea because they want to protect their player so much. The player was in the wrong. And championship teams, you could have interactions. You could have some contentious relationships. But you don't usually see that happening on championship team sidelines. I know people are going to say, well, Andy Reid and Travis Kelce pushed each other. That was different. That was completely different what we saw this past weekend. Coming on back.